Good morning, and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Radio Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our special guest this morning is Mr. Bradford R. Higgins, Assistant Secretary of State for Resource Management and Chief Financial Officer of the Department of State. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning, Al.
And joining us in our conversation is IBM Project Executive Bonnie Glick. Good morning, Bonnie.
Good morning.
Brad, most of our listeners are familiar with the Department of State as the diplomatic arm of the U.S. government. But listeners may not know that the Chief Financial Officer at the State Department fits within the Bureau of Resource Management and manages a budget of approximately $33.6 billion, which certainly rivals many of the Fortune 500 companies out there. Can we start by talking more about the mission of the State Department's Bureau of Resource Management and its activities?
I'd be happy to. Resource management was set up in 2002 as really out of what Secretary Powell initiative, and it really focused on his belief in having a real organization looking at not just diplomacy, but how do you support diplomacy. The resource management, the intent was to integrate policy planning and budgeting, and then finally accounting. The mission itself, the mission statement, is pretty straightforward, and it's to integrate strategic planning, budgeting, and performance and secure the resources necessary to accomplish the Department of State's mission. To be perfectly honest, though, that mission has expanded dramatically since 9/11. The demands of what the State Department is doing overseas, and be it Iraq or literally any other part of the world, has put tremendous demands on financial management and control. And really, I think the question is for us and what we're getting from Congress and the American taxpayers, how are we spending the money they're giving us and for what effect? You know, we live in difficult times and the taxpayer wants to know, what type of results should we be expecting and what type of effects is this funding generating?
Can you describe specifically your role as Chief Financial Officer? What are some of your official responsibilities and how do you support the broader mission of the organization?
Well, let me start off by saying something. I think I have the best financial job in America, really quite simply, because I have input in almost all the decisions affecting the U.S. overseas. These are, you know, be it Iraq, what we're doing in Afghanistan, what we're doing in a lot of the other countries. And these issues will define our generation. So I can't tell you how much I've enjoyed my time being able to ask the kind of questions that just like anybody else would want to have to want answers for, being an outsider. But the specific responsibilities as Chief Financial Officer is, again, as I mentioned before, is the development of the department's internal planning, budgeting, and accounting functions. It goes much further than simply putting together a budget. We have embassies in over 170 countries around the world. We develop business plans, or what we call mission performance plans, for every one of them. The individual missions develop those. We critique them. We meet with at least 60 of them every year. And so it's a very iterative process. And for someone like myself who was new to the government, it's been fascinating because what you find is no mission is alike. The challenges that we face overseas are just profound, and they're changing constantly. And that ability to have men and women on the ground working with these countries is absolutely critical. So our role in terms of how do we support them and how do we give them the assets or the resources to help them do their job, and that kind of goes to my next area, which is the Bureau of Resource Management has a number of different areas in addition to just putting together budgets. As I mentioned before, we've got planning and we've got accounting. But we also are the financial services provider for the not simply the State Department, but all U.S. agencies overseas outside of the Department of Defense. So if Department of Commerce has someone in Africa in a country, let's say in Egypt, you know, it's the responsibility of the State Department to provide life support and service for them, you know, through the Chief of Mission. And we also handle all the salaries of all the Foreign Service nationals who happen to work for the U.S. government overseas. We pay, for example, we pay the salaries of about 90,000 Americans, locally engaged staff, and retirees annually. What makes us different, though, from any other organization in the U.S. government is that we just don't pay in U.S. dollars. we pay salaries in 160 different currencies, and we have about 260 different pay plans around the world. So the accounting and the administration functions of this are enormous, and particularly when you realize the State Department staff, you know, a typical assignment and a mission at the State Department is anywhere from 1 to 3 years. So in any given year, you probably have 30 to 40% turnover. So, you know, in every country, the pay plans are a little different because whether it's a hazard pay or just a type of things that, you know, family type of provisions. So it gets incredibly complicated from just from getting the right payout. So those are the type of issues that we deal with on a daily basis. The other thing, if I can finish, is outside of the normal accounting business and the financial operations, we're also have the mandate for what we call mission assurance. If something was to happen to the State Department, what are the plans? And we help organize all of the other bureaus in terms of their contingency planning. So it's basically critical infrastructure planning. This is, again, a follow-on on what happened after 9/11. What do you do if something happens? We also have responsibilities for dealing with GAO liaison. We deal with them on a daily basis in terms of their audits. So we have a pretty broad mandate. But again, it comes back to financial services and making it as effective as possible for the secretary.
Brad, you have a tremendous range of responsibility within the State Department itself. I'm wondering if you can tell us how your broad range of professional experience, including a successful career in the private sector, as well as your previous stint as the CFO of the Office of the Coalition Provisional Authority in Baghdad, prepared you for your current position. How has such a background influenced your personal management style?
That's a very interesting question. It's hard to say anyone could be prepared for going over to Baghdad. I started my career as a lawyer, and I decided shortly after practicing for about 2 years to become an investment banker. But I've always had an interest in the public sector, so I gravitated toward public finance. And I did that for about 20 years on Wall Street at firms like Goldman Sachs and First Boston, leading a number of groups there, primarily focused in public power and infrastructure. And it was one of the things what I specialized on were large, complicated problem projects. And so when we went into Iraq, we used to joke, you know, the Iraq was the mother of all projects. And so it was something I, you know, kind of caught my interest. But I also think what for me to go there was a former colleague of mine was the chief financial officer at the State Department, Chris Burnham. And after 9/11, I'd wanted to do something to help and get involved, just like thousands of others Americans. So I volunteered to be an advisor down in Washington for a year. Well, that lasted about a day. And they asked me if I'd be interested in going to Baghdad. And a week later, I'm sitting in Baghdad. And again, it was partially my background in terms of trying to analyze problems and ask questions. And one of the things that I found incredibly helpful with the Wall Street background, which is really not different from anyone out there in terms of managing their own finances, is that I want to know why we're spending this or why is it costing so much. And the due diligence aspects of Wall Street, I think, have proven to be very helpful. I come from a not so much a spending perspective but an investing perspective. So when we're looking at things, particularly on foreign assistance, why are we spending this? What's our return? What are we doing to help? And quite honestly, what's our exit strategy? So those type of experiences have really proven to be very helpful. But I think that, if I was to say where did I learn the most, it was my 13 months in Baghdad. I did two tours over there, and working with not only the Iraqis but the Americans, we tend to forget, there's been an awful lot of criticism of what's transpired there, fraud, waste, and mismanagement that I kept on hearing about. Well, I have to tell you, I started off as a CFO for CPA, and I worked very hard. I was largely brought over to fix a budget deficit. We were projecting about a $400 million shortfall on an $800 million budget. It took me about 3 or 4 weeks with a team of folks, but we ended up not only resolving the shortfall, but we ended up turning over a surplus. And it was asking a lot of questions, and that was really my primary focus. But I also had a chance to see what was going on, and I was concerned. So when the State Department took over, I asked if I could extend, and they said fine, and they made me the chief of planning for what was known as the Iraq Reconstruction Management Office, better known as IRMO. And we did the first reprogramming, and that was really reflecting on how we saw the situation evolving in Iraq. One of the real challenges that we have, all of us, whether it's the Hill or the American taxpayer, are wrestling with right now is how did we get there, and what's transpired? And when we first went in there, it was really a reconstruction program. It was what is better known as post-war reconstruction, and that was one of the real challenges because it evolved very quickly to a wartime reconstruction. So what I found, as with most businessmen or people, you are constantly evolving. You're constantly reassessing. So when people say mistakes, well, it's just no. It's re-aiming. It's particularly in a war zone where there were their tactics changed almost daily. Well, so did ours, and we had to keep learning from our mistakes and lessons. And so, really, what I came back, and I remember sitting down with the secretary upon my arrival and going toward my confirmation process and try to explain to her. And I said, "Look, if you can get something done in Baghdad, you should be able to get something done in Washington." And I was welcome. I was pleased to come back. And in some respects, I think the experience in Baghdad has put me in a very good position, not so much because of all the lessons, but the fact of the matter is the men and women over, the Americans and the coalition and the Iraqis, what they're going through and having a very much of a ground feeling. You know, it's one thing to sit in Washington and talk about what do we have to do and how it's going. It's another thing to be out there trying to make it happen. When we talk about programs or budgets or money, well, I've got a pretty good idea how difficult it is and ask the kind of questions, all right, how exactly are we going to do this?
We certainly want to hear more of the stories from Baghdad because we think that there's a lot of learnings here. But I want to transition here a little bit and ask you, we understand that the Bureau has received numerous awards from organizations such as the Association of Government Accountants and the League of American Communication Professionals, just to name a few. Can you tell us about some of these awards and accomplishments?
Oh, I'd love to. I only wish I could take credit for them. all these awards were work done last year, and as I like to say, I hope we can continue doing them, and if we fail, please let it not be on my watch. But I will say the team that I inherited at the State Department is really second to none. And I think I can talk with a certain level of experience spending almost 30 years in the private sector and in the public sector and being in management positions for probably 20 of those. So it's a credit to the team that we have at RM. Probably the best one to start off with is the double green score on OMB's scorecard for the President's Management Initiative, and I'm sure we'll get into that later on, but I think it's something that the listeners should be more aware of. That the PMA is one of the real achievements of this administration, that trying to make the government work better and work harder and to justify the taxpayers' dollars. In our area, the two that we were responsible for, planning, budget, integration, and financial management. We're proud to say we're double green for progress and for status. OMB is a demanding boss, and they're constantly asking questions. The other areas that I think we're particularly proud of is for the last 5 years we have received the AGA's prestigious Certificate of Excellence in Accounting. And accountability reporting, I should say. And this all goes back to our performance and accountability report. This is something Americans don't really look at enough. Federal agencies, by law, are required to do annual reports, and they're called PARs, performance and accountability reports. This is really a good area. If you want to find out what's going on in an agency, particularly the State Department, go to their website, open it up. Or contact us and we'll send you a disc. They're long, so we're going to have to send you a disc rather than a printed copy. But it goes into all our different programs and what our record is. There is a lot of accountability, and there's more so today than ever before because of a lot of the work OMB has done. Another one of our – and this goes back to our annual report, the PAR, is the Mercatus Center of George Mason University. I started ranking them probably 7 or 8 years ago. We started off in 20th out of 27 agencies. Well, for the last 2 years, we've been ranked second. What's interesting, I think, from the State Department is that most of the other agencies have effectively one mission. And it's whether it be at labor or Social Security or commerce. But, you know, the State Department handles the foreign relations for the U.S. government, which is everything. So the number of programs and the number of initiatives we're involved in is not in the dozens. It's literally in the hundreds. And we have to report on those. So I think it's a real credit to the team at the State Department to have been able to put that into an effective and cohesive manner so that people can try have a better understanding of what we're trying to do.
Certainly a phenomenal accomplishment. What are the goals and priorities for the State Department's Bureau of Resource Management? We will ask Assistant Secretary and Chief Financial Officer Brad Higgins to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.